Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter podcast episode. I'm your host, Juette Z. Payne. Welcome. If this is your first time, if you're on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe, hit the bell, do all of that good stuff so you don't miss any episodes. We drop a brand new episode every single week. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on Spotify, all the platforms, we are there too. So go ahead and follow, like, do all of that good stuff, okay? We don't want you to miss any Creative Encounter podcast episodes. All right, so without further ado, I'm here with a phenomenal worship leader, phenomenal musician, and a brother who we've been connected on social for a minute, and now we're finally linking up on here. Super excited to connect. It's my brother, D. Wilson. D, what's going on, man?
Hey, bro. How are you?
Doing good, man. Thank you so much, bro. Nice. So it's funny because, okay, let me ask you real quick. So I'm up here in Chicago, you know. I believe you're from Chicago, too.
I am.
Okay, I am. Cool. Now, how's the where are you at right now?
We're in Colorado Springs. So me, my wife, and our daughter was born in Chicago. Our son was born here. We were in Chicago for our whole lives. And then it'll be 3 years this August that we moved to Colorado Springs. We're serving at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. It's a bunch of pastors and... it's great. It's awesome.
Good. Now the question is, how's the weather? What's the weather like?
Okay, so it's like Chicago's schizophrenic cousin, right? In Chicago it'll be like we'll just get crazy stuff, 70s in February and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It could be like that here. Except we get a lot more sun. So even when it does snow, the amount of sun that we get, the snow doesn't last very long. So it's a mild schizophrenic. But we can also get snow in June.
Okay. So you still get snow in June?
We'll still get snow in June.
Oh, no. Y'all wild. Okay. It's cool.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, it's wild. And because we're so high, so we're also like almost 7,000 feet in elevation. There are times where you'll be driving down the road and you'll see like three or four different storm systems and you just don't know which one is going to hit you, if any of them are going to hit you. Yeah. So like, you see it raining like four different directions and you're like, one of these may hit us or none of them may hit us or it may hail. Like it's wild.
Never know. Dude, that's crazy. Yeah, cool, man. Awesome. So yeah, so I just want to say we connected, on social media. Yeah. But finally had this happen because of Christina Maldonado. What up, Christina? Christina reached out and connected us like, yo, y'all need to link. So I'm excited to see where this goes just for future things outside of this episode, you know?
Yeah, shout out to Christina. She's good people.
So sweet, so great. But bro, so tell me, you have been doing music. You are out there doing your thing. Praise the Lord. And just want to see just kind of like the backstory of like how you even got into your artistry, into your craft and all of that. Yeah. Stuff, like the beginning stages leading up to now, you know?
Yeah. I didn't want to do music at all. Okay. My grandfather played Negro League baseball.
Okay.
And then had eight girls on the south side of Chicago.
Bro, any boys?
No boys. So here's his professional baseball player. Probably, I'm sure he wanted a bunch of sons, but had eight girls. And so grandsons, once he had grandsons, it was a wrap. We all had a baseball mitt in our hands and we were on the diamond and stuff like that. He coached us all in baseball.
That's so cool.
And so that's what I wanted to do. Like I learned instruments because my mom was a musician and a worship leader. And she gave me her old keyboard when she bought a new one. She gave me her old one. Wow. So I would sit in my room and play, not even worship. I would just play, make songs and figure out the keyboard and stuff like that. But I had no interest in standing on stage and speaking to people, like in singing. No. At most, I told my mom, my mom would jump in from time to time and encourage me to sing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would say at most, the most I would do is be like Huntley Brown, play magnificent keyboard. But then I wanted to leave stage immediately. Like, I don't want to sign anything. I don't want to speak to anyone. I just want to be left alone. So yeah. I figured if I ever did music, that would be it. But no, my black mom and the Lord had a plan.
I love it.
And so I was 13 years old when my mom, who we were transitioning churches, started out, we were at Crusaders Ministries on the South Side of Chicago. We were transitioning to Christian Life Center in Tinley Park. And my mom was working at MusicNet with the Franklin.
Yep.
And they were going to CLC, and so was another one of the teachers. Her name was Holly. She was the youth worship leader at Christian Life Center. So one Tuesday night, my mom came home and said, "Get your jacket. We're going to church." And I'm like, what? Like, you're going to be late. And I'm like, late for what? Like,
she just told on you, like, "You're going to be late.
Get your jacket. You're going to be late." I'm like, late? Like, I have nothing. I have no schedule. I'm 13. So I'm like, late for what? And she's like, "You're the new tenor for the youth worship team at church."
Yeah.
And like, I've been like, we were transitioning. Like, I had probably been to one youth service at that point. And I was like, when did I sign up for this? When did I audition for this? You didn't, but you're going, like, you're the new tenor.
Yeah.
Like, you got a black
mama. Same, I mean, like, you're 13. You want black mama say you black, you gotta do it.
So I went, I hopped in the car, we drove to church. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that, like, you know, I went to charismatic and spirit-filled churches. This is the first time that I knew I was hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it before, you know, as a little kid, you know, they always have you do a little prophetic stuff and, you know, you're not sure, you say some stuff, you're not super sure. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I know this is God for real. And wow. So I walked into the youth sanctuary, and it was the best I can interpret it. It was like an open vision. Mm. Like, I kind of stood there for like a few seconds.
Mm.
It's kind of like my world just got like exploded. And I saw this vision of me leading worship. For some reason, I just knew I was 18. I was 13 at the time of the calling, but in the vision, I just knew for whatever reason, like I best be at 18.
Mm,
It was wild. And so, And because I have a small chemical imbalance, I just said, "No, Lord, like, that's great. That's a, you know, that's cool that you want me to do that. I'm absolutely not doing that." Like,
Yeah, the Lord, he said, "Absolutely."
Yeah. I'm like, "Lord, no, like, I'm not doing that at all." And I said, like, if I am doing that, like, you're going to have to do it. Like, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to practice. Like, I'm not going to do anything that resembles stewardship. Like, I'm just going to, like,
I'm just going to stand there.
I'm just going to stay here. And I'm going to do my best to get kicked out. So that's what I did for 3 years or more, really. Like, I just really did my best to, like, cause as much trouble and get kicked out. But along with great parents, the Lord also gave me great leaders and coaches and mentors and spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, and that just wouldn't give up on me, and kept bringing me back, disciplined me, chastised me, got me right, and just kept bringing me back.
Yeah.
Kept encouraging me, you know, told me I was a knucklehead, but they was gonna stick with it and all this stuff. And by 16 is when I finally said, like, "Okay, Lord, like, fine, I'll do it." And those are like the first steps.
Yeah. And look at how patient he is. Literally reminds me of Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah, the way God is like, "Bro, I see you." Like,
yeah,
you know, yeah, but give him this time, you know, then you're still going to do what I'm asking you to do, you know. it's awesome, man. And it's just
so gracious.
Wow, that's cool. So around 16, what started happening? Like, what did you see start developing?
Well, that was when I just decided, that was the first act of surrender. Like, okay, God, like, it wasn't even like a good one. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a holy, like, I'm sorry, Lord. It was just like, fine. And
he used the fine.
He'll use the fine. Yeah. So I guess what started happening was just like internal changes in me. Like a lot of external stuff didn't really start to change, except like, I think maybe like people started to just notice that like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe he's getting more serious and, you know, more like some more opportunity in the church would come. So I would still lead with the, or I would still sing slash lead with like the our youth group, you know, on Wednesdays, but then like, sometimes on Sundays, I would get a song to sing, song to lead or something like that every once in a while, or offering special or something like that. I started learning guitar. You know, I still didn't really care about being a good singer. I just, you know, it was a fine. It wasn't really a yes. It was a fine. Right. And so like, but I did start to learn guitar a little bit and, started to get just more responsibility as like the maturity started to show.
So good. Man, I love it. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the word surrender.
Yeah.
Since then, how, once you kind of had that moment of surrender, where have you seen God take you, you know, as far as like the new season and the shift, you know, because this was something you didn't want to do. You're like, baseball, that's it. So like now it's like, what did you see the Lord begin to unfold as he began to do that work in you?
Yeah.
So, even with like opportunities and things like that.
Yeah. And I always say, you know, between 18 and 20, at 18, well, I'll take at 17. I didn't know this. At 17, there was transitioning starting to happen within our youth group. Mm-hmm. And our youth pastor was being planted. And he was, you know, like recruiting his team to go with him and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that included our youth worship leader. Her name was Holly. And at 17, I was like a dark horse, long shot candidate. They were like, he can't do this.
Oh, wow.
And then by 18, they were like, we think you're the only person that can do this, actually. Oh, wow. And so that responsibility was handed to me for that whole team. I was also having more opportunities on Sunday morning. And it's really interesting how you can go from no to fine to like entitled, like not take much for entitlement to creep in and take a, you know, pretty firm hold. And so entitlement started to just take over like a lot of my attitude. And I felt like I deserved it. You know, especially once I was 18 and doing the thing like that, you know what I mean? That I saw in the vision, it was like, oh, this is, you know, I deserve this. And this is full-time ministry time and it's go time. And
that's so good. It's just like once you get that vision and you feel like, yeah, the whole time, like this is what God spoke to me. It's
happen.
So everything else can get out the way, you know, like, man, I can relate to them. That's like,
just expecting things that are so beyond your level and your measure.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say is between 18 and 20, the Lord had to like chisel, you had to beat a yes into me, into my heart.
So the Lord turned into the black daddy, you know, you black mama, then the Lord was the black daddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Good Times.
Yeah, James. What's his name? I can't say.
Yeah, James.
James something. So that's really what happened. It was like, I think that it had to be chiseled into me to say yes to service, not yes to the status, and not yes to the position. Not yes to the influence or whatever else the trappings that would come with service, but say yes to the service. And I'm 36 now. Mm-hmm. Now I'm grateful because, you know, I'm not the most powerful, rich, famous person in the world, but I've gotten some amazing, like the Lord has let me down some pretty amazing opportunities and pretty amazing seasons. And I think a lot of it is just because I was the first person to say yes without any strings attached.
Hey, let's go. Hallelujah. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, yes. So I try to tell, you know, people that are younger than me that are coming up, Like, you know, say yes to serving. Like the scripture says, like, outdo each other in service. Like, serve, say yes to it. Like, the Lord will lead you where he's going to lead you. He'll take you where he's going to take you. There'll be greatness. There'll be, to whatever measure it will be, but it will be, but you have to, in your heart has to be a yes to the service of it all and a care for the work of it all. An indifference almost to the trappings.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Man, dude, I just really sense and feel the Lord just speaking to you, even in this season, how you said, like, the first time when you really just had the moment of him speaking to you, I believe you said you were, is that when you were 13 or 16, when you kind of went in and, yeah, 13. Yeah. Around that time, and even now still speaking to you, because something I really wanted us to talk about, even on this topic, is those moments of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, because it was some stuff that was resonating. I feel like that's why there was an awesome connect here. You posted something the other day specifically of you kind of putting these triggering things, which shouldn't be triggering to the church, because this is literally speaking stuff from the Word of God, from Scripture and stuff.
It's wild that worship God is triggering. Like, that's kind of a crazy place to be in the world.
Dude, oh my goodness. So, like, when you start posting that, so I was like, okay, like, this brother, because there's some stuff that's just kind of sitting in my spirit. Like, you saying this stuff, I'm like, okay, because you mentioned some stuff, which I want you to say first. But right there, I was like, this is good. The Lord is speaking some stuff that I want the church to hear.
Yeah.
You kind of emphasize that one that you just mentioned, but also emphasize the one where you were talking about the songwriting part.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That's something big for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've been leading worship and writing songs now for almost 20 years, or probably right at 20 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, you just learn a lot of stuff along the way, especially once industry gets involved. You just learn a lot of good things and a lot of troubling things just in the journey. Mm-hmm. One of those things that you just notice is I've noticed how, like, humanistic our worship has become. Mm-hmm. And so I was, what happened was, but I normally keep that stuff to myself, like, you know, just because I don't want to, you know, I mean, I don't want to always cause trouble. I'm okay with causing trouble, but, like.
Yeah, you were only a troublemaker between 13 and 16, you know.
I mean, a bad one, yeah. Like, I still believe in good trouble.
Yeah.
But I mostly, you know, like, I may say it to other worship leaders, you know, as we just converse, but I normally wouldn't like, shoot it off like that on socials. And so, but my little brother called me, he's a pastor in Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me and he was like, hey, like, you know, Easter's coming. I do New Song Gym on Instagram as well, just where I like highlight good songs and songs for certain seasons or whatever. So he was like, I expected you to have some more New Song Gyms ready, but you haven't. But I need some Easter songs. So he's like, can we spend the next, you know, however much time is going over Easter songs? He called me like 7 in the morning or something like that. Yeah. He's the only person that could do that and ask for songs that, like, so I was like, cool, let's go. So we start going down the list and going down names, and good night, man. Like, so many of these songs that we were running into were so self-centered. And I was frustrated. I told him, and that on the phone, I said, like, it's really tough, because not only can you hardly find songs that are, like, we call them vertical, but it's really just actual worship or worshiping God, you know. But now, like, let alone, you can't even find stuff that, like, aligns with the church calendar, like Good Friday songs and Easter songs and Pentecost songs and songs. Christmas songs and, like, all these things that we celebrate, Advent and Epiphany, right? All these, like, motions and movements of the church year, we can't find any of those. The most we can find is, like, you know, songs about us in natural disasters. That's about it. Mm-hmm. And so I just started firing off. And then I heard another song that really annoyed me.
I was just so fired up.
And I said stuff like, you know, your worship didn't tear down Jericho's walls, and you know, you're like, you can't sing your way out of anything. And you know, like, God isn't drawing people to your worship. He's drawing people to himself. And it resonated with a lot of people. It triggered, like you said, it triggered some folks. And then the next day I got, cause I'm also developing coaching for songwriters, for worship leaders to become songwriters. Sure. And so the first post was really an overflow of frustration. The next one was like, well, maybe I can help. Maybe I can start helping people, you know, like bring them in to start helping them. And so that's when I went on the songwriting thing, which is still very true, that of the 100 or so songs that permeate the church, they're written by about 15 people at most, largely homogenous, really kind people, like, but still the same people over and over again. And I just don't think it's right that 15 people, essentially three churches, get to write all the songs for all the churches. I just think that's nonsense. So, yeah.
That's so good. Oh my goodness, I love it, because
that was long.
Churches that I've played with and just, you know, led with and all this stuff over the years, I've been saying, like, yo, we need to be writing fresh songs. Cause I just always go back to the verse, sing unto the Lord a new song. It's like just so straightforward. And the church is going through specific things. Your local church is going through specific things that you can sing out about. You know what I'm saying?
Going through specific things has a specific interpretation of the Great Commission. Like, God is moving there in different ways than he might be moving at the church up the street or the next state over. Yeah. So, like, all that stuff matters and deserves a song.
Yes.
Man. Deserves songs. Yeah.
Wow. So great. Yeah, man. So, just being in the new position I'm in, too, like, I already have this vision. I already walk in with vision. I'm like, yo, we can literally, like, we should be making, like, records at these churches. We should be making these different things and reaching people. We're going to the streets and we're ministering and stuff, singing these fresh songs in our neighborhood. So it's just always been something on my heart. So I was like, oh, man, I would really want to talk about that, because I think the church should expand. Like you said, when I'm picking every songs every week, I talk to my wife about this all the time, like, because I'm a songwriter as well. So that's why you and I, we vibe. I'm like, I'm tired of, like, doing the same songs, you know, over and over again and stuff, you know? So I love it.
Or having to settle for a song that doesn't fit the moment all the way.
Yes.
To settle for the closest, you know, the closest viable song.
Mm.
Like, we should have the right song for the right moment all the time. So I also believe that your greatest frustration is a problem you were created to solve. And that's one of my great frustrations is the church's reliance and dependence on industry to have something to sing on Sunday.
Mm.
I just think it's wrong and troubling and unsustainable. I think it might be the most unsustainable thing we do is have to rely on industry. Because the thing about industries always rise and fall.
Yeah.
You know, they used to have to send horses to deliver letters.
Yeah.
And Muggs thought that was going to last forever.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, that's so true.
Everybody used to have a landline. You used to have to have a home phone.
Yeah, attached to the wall.
That wasn't that long ago. That was a dominant, like, that dominated the world.
Yeah.
And just like that, over the course of maybe a decade, I don't know a human that has a home phone anymore.
Yeah, nope.
So the thing about industry is that it always rises and falls and goes away. And if the industry that we're relying on to worship the Lord goes away, what happens? Are you not going to sing anything?
Yeah. So good. This is so good. It's crazy because this podcast is all about being creative, the entrepreneurial journey, all of that stuff. So me being full-time in music, full-time entrepreneurship, full-time ministry, all of that stuff, we are big on moving and creating. It's the same thing. It's like you say, sustainability. Working at someone's 9 to 5, where you have to depend on, you know, them and that business thriving and all this stuff. It's like, create your own. I'm all about creating my own. Like, our boys are, the oldest is 7.
Yeah.
And we're already setting them up, which I'm going to talk about in a future episode, setting them up as employees under what we're doing.
Wow.
You know, doing things like that, teaching them how to write songs, creating their brand. They got their YouTube channel too, and all of this stuff. Get them, so when they're older, you don't have to wait until you're 18 now to go out and venture into what you're doing. As soon as you're born and I see your giftedness,
yes,
start cultivating the right way, you know?
To make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, dude, that's so dope. So, yeah, man. So I want you to tell me, like, this year specifically, what some things that you are working toward? Like, we are in, you know, right now, the posting of this episode, we're in February now. Where are we as far as your vision and goals for this year specifically and the direction you're going?
The thing I want to do most this year, two things. I still, in my writing life, I still want to build a prestigious catalog of just great songs. Mm-hmm. You know, the Hawkins and the Crouches and, yeah, you know, the Winans of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to build that prestigious catalog of songs, mm-hmm, that goes like the Wilsons are, yeah, are that. Yes. But that's still very much in the big picture. This year, the most immediate thing I want to do is just to develop a very rich and life-giving coaching program for worship leaders to write songs. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. And at the time that this is posted, I would have already started my first, mm-hmm, group of 9 worship leaders that I'm teaching how to be better songwriters. Yeah. In March, I'll start another one. So my goal is to start, let's see, between March and October. Mm-hmm. Sorry, between February and October, that's 9 months, right? Mm-hmm. So I would love to start. My goal this year is to start a group a month.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 12-week program that I'm doing that just gives you everything that I've learned over the course of a decade, as well as like one-on-one coaching and the lifetime of community. Yeah, the thing that keeps people from getting into songwriting, specifically worship leaders, is the lack of community and the lack of tools.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just two problems that you can solve easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, community, you find some people that are like-minded and go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For tools, you find somebody that know what they're talking about and is willing to tell you, mm-hmm, and listen. Yeah. So yeah. I have both of those things. I have the tools. I have the tools that have made me a really good songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And I can build community by finding people that are just like-minded and want to get to work. So that's what I'm doing.
So good. And it's so funny because I believe that's why Christina possibly wanted to connect us, because Christina works with me in recording music, yep, here in the studio, and then also with my business where I teach music.
Yep.
So like, this will be an awesome component for us to collab and do some stuff like that, because that's been on my heart too. We have these sessions where songwriters, we just get together and start just writing fresh songs, because I've had it on my heart to, like, outside of my music, you know, have like a collective of some sort where we are continually like cranking out these new fresh songs and stuff. So man, we're about to be talking, bro. Like, this is crazy. Like, straight up, it's so cool.
Yeah, dude, I'm back home. I'm back home in July for the Selah, yeah, conference. July 17th to the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be there for those 3 days. I'll probably do a lot of songwriting and a lot of songwriting talk. That's really my, man, that's such my passion. Like,
mm-hmm,
that's another thing that we go back to, that other conversation of surrender.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was going to be a worship leader. The Lord is like really put in a deep passion for songs.
So that,
you know, I didn't see that coming at all.
Bro, if you go back to, I think it was like episode maybe 50 of this podcast, I don't even remember. I was just telling people that God is calling me, like, the focus, if everything was burned up and thrown away, songwriting, that's it. You know, we have all these different things we do as creatives. Like, we can't stop. We're always creating. God is endless, limitless in his creativity. So we always got all these things we want to do. But it was like, if everything hits the choice, throw everything away, it's like literally just songwriting. So that's why I'm just sitting here just getting hyped just hearing you talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So cool. So dope. This is cool. So, man, so we usually wrap up every episode by giving like an encouraging word of some sort, some type of motivation to the kingdom creative, something to kind of spur them on, build their faith, just kind of one kind of last little tidbit that you want to throw at them.
Yeah. To the songwriter, do everything to keep your pen sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Percy Beatty told me one time, I asked him, like, I got stuck at a song, and he told me, you haven't lived that part of the song yet.
That's good.
Go live. But always keep it sharp, so that once you have the experience, and once you have the whether it's lived or otherwise, you know, when you gain it, to be ready to execute. Mm-hmm. So every songwriter, I just want to say, do whatever you can to keep your pen sharp, and that, you know, I can be a resource to help you keep your pen sharp.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, man, this is awesome. I love it. Cool, man. So I need you to tell everybody how they can find you. We're going to have all of that in the description below on this video. So how can people find you?
Instagram, D Wilson Live, D E Wilson Live, Facebook, D Wilson, same spelling. Mm-hmm. That's really it. I think I'm gonna develop a YouTube at some point. My daughter's probably gonna have a YouTube page before I do.
And that is good.
She wants one really bad. We're shooting a music video for her.
Yeah, come on. Wow.
D Wilson, Instagram is my main tool of communication mm-hmm. with the public now. And then New Song Gym is my worship song review page. It's nothing negative. It's all positive. I want to build a platform of positivity and not telling you what's bad, but showing you what's good. So New Song Gym, it's spelled how it's said. Those are the ways.
Awesome. Good. You have a link tree?
I do not, because I'm not a professional person.
It's all good. So those links are going to be below, y'all. I'm like trying to merge it. I will give it to people. Cool. So when you come in July, take you out.
Okay.
This chicken joint. Everybody already know. I bet everybody who watching right now probably like, oh, here he go. Y'all still watching. It's all good. So anyway, this chicken joint, Korean fried chicken, bro.
My God.
In Chicago.
What's it called?
It's called CM Chicken.
Yes.
CM Chicken. It's like you've already experienced the Lord, but you may go pretty close to the third heavens.
Higher levels.
Yes, sir. So it's going to be fun.
No, I'm with that. Let's go.
Yes, sir. I love it. Mandu, well, thank you so much, bro. So excited to have you. And y'all, if you guys are... is your first time following Creative Encounter, remember, we are a nonprofit through ACT International. So ACT International is an organization that Juett Z. Payne Music, my ministry as an artist, is under. Creative Encounter is under as well. So you can be a monthly financial partner to support this ministry, continue to do the podcast, continue to release amazing music, and just reach the world through art and creativity. So love you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. D, thanks again, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And I'll see you guys next time.